At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Si, what have you been doing?
Well, we've been Stone went to Searcy, Arkansas.
Oh, yeah, y'all went trout fishing. Mm-hmm.
Thursday trout. And Friday. We fished Thursday afternoon and then fished Friday morning.
What'd you catch?
And caught a bunch of brown trout.
You did?
Yep. The water was high. They was generating electricity on the dam. Mm-hmm. So the water was high and flowing fast, and the brown trout bite was on. I never did work it out, though.
Notice he said.
I caught a couple.
Yeah, he knows.
Stone was on fire.
Yeah. He said we caught.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. Stone was on fire. He caught about probably 25 rounds, and the biggest one was like 4 pounds. He had a few three.
Oh, it was real nice.
Yeah.
How many did you catch?
I caught about 3 browns. One of them was about 2.5.
Stone?
No, I caught about 3.
Stone said one.
I caught a couple of little ones.
Are y'all fly fishing?
No.
Ultralight.
Trout magnet fishing.
Yeah.
Trout magnets.
Yeah. But it was a jig. A marabou.
Yeah.
The new one. It's a new one.
It's a new marabou.
One of Jeff Smith's new inventions.
The
marabou.
The real question is, did you bring me back some of them filets so I could put some of this W sauce
on? We didn't keep none of them.
You didn't what?
We did not keep a fish. We caught all of them and catch and release.
Oh, them trout people, if you grab a trout the wrong way,
they get
mad.
Oh, yeah.
So they really don't want you to lay a knife to them.
That's right.
Trout people are kind of
really. But the rainbows in that little Red River.
They are good eating.
Are all
rainbow.
Stocked. They're stocked. They don't mind you keeping some of them and eating them. But the native, the brown trout are native.
So you can't eat them?
They are pretty, too.
And they're not any good anyway there.
I figured they'd be good eating.
No.
And I had to recorrect myself because they said, no, they ain't very good.
Well, how do we know if they won't let you keep
them? Well, I don't know. Well, I'm just saying, I looked at it. It's such a beautiful fish. I said, this is bound to be good eating.
I'll send you a picture.
And then they said, no, it ain't good eating.
You put that W sauce on that rascal. He's ready to eat, son.
Martin, you got more W sauce?
I got some.
You got some right there?
I brought some right here for Stone to take home with him.
I was supposed to bring some last time.
And he's got to invite me whatever he cooks and put that on. He's got to invite me so I test it.
Well, I've tried it on everything but fish, so I sent you out on a mission, and you just threw them off.
Well, you didn't catch but one,
so you ain't really got
catch and release, boys.
You ain't got a – oh, that's a big one.
Oh, yeah. Catch and release.
Man. That's a good one.
Oh, no.
Pretty, Annie.
Five.
That's not a fish. That's a deer.
Deer?
Oh, what are you
waiting on?
Oh, he's showing you a touchy.
Yeah, I just sent it to you.
Yeah,
you get it?
Touchy.
There you go.
There you go.
All right, boys. Hey.
Look how pretty that thing is.
That is
a pretty fish. Beautiful fish. And I mean, it's slam full of them, little red.
I tried to hold, not touch him with too many fingers. I didn't want nobody.
Yeah, they do that.
Getting upset.
He's got the typical guitar pose there with it.
Guitar.
Yeah,
that's how
you got your fingers set up right for a G chord. No, I'm lying.
That's probably why you can't play the guitar.
Well, that may be.
And now we know.
No, but it was a very enjoyable trip, as always.
That's a unique place.
Yeah.
Just think about it. It's 90 degrees when you get up on the hills. When you go down the boat ramp, it drops to about 55, between 55 and 65.
About 75. But
no.
It's nice.
No, it ain't no 75. It's about 55 to 65. Because, hey, my beard was wet just from moisture in the air.
That's because that water's about 40.
48.
How's it that cold?
48
bottom
year
of Greer's Ferry.
Yeah, Greer's Ferry is in the mountains.
Okay.
And it's
the
deep,
lake is real deep.
Deep
Greer
deep.
Lake.
Okay. Oh, y'all right under the dam.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, it's 48 degrees.
Anywhere you on the river.
Year round.
Little Red River, it's cold.
Yeah, there was that one time where we lost a bet and I had to go in the water.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Oh, you get hypothermia.
Hypothermia. Hypothermia ain't nothing to joke around with, Martin.
If you don't want hypothermia, you better not ever get hypothermia.
Oh, no, no.
That hypothermia is even worse.
That hypothermia puts you 6 foot under, son. You can make it through hypothermia.
That's right, but you ain't going to make it through the other one.
But if you make it through that hypothermia.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about.
Boy. Oh, I'm here to tell.
He said hypothermia.
Well,
oh, Lord. Well, while y'all was doing that, me and Goblin was headed to Pensacola, Florida to speak at a deal.
How'd that go?
That's good. It was me, him, David Blanton, Michael Waddell for Sportsman's Night Out.
Y'all had a crew.
Oh, it was good. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, y'all be proud to know I kept Godwin on his plan.
Yes.
Okay. You helped the boy out?
I tried to make sure he didn't do nothing crazy.
All right, that's good.
And he didn't.
He didn't go too crazy. Okay. We kept it regulated anyway.
Okay.
For dinner, he had a salad.
Okay.
Now, he did like that Thousand Island dressing because that Goblin's the only man I know that eats that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the first question he asks everywhere we go. You got Thousand Island? I'm like, what? Why is there a thousand of them? Why not just call it Island? What's it got to do with? I have no idea.
It's just ketchup and ranch.
And mayo.
And
no, it ain't.
That's pretty much what it is.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't see how y'all eat ranch.
What?
Oh, that's, you talking about a garho.
My favorite is Caesar.
You talking about a garho.
Ranch?
Ranch dressing? I don't even know how they come up with that garbage.
Ranch pretty good if you put jalapenos in it.
But I like can't make that crap good.
But Caesar is my favorite. I'm a Caesar salad guy.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
What kind of dressing?
I like a good vinaigrette.
Of course you do. You eat jarred olives, jarred peppers. Everything you eat is vinegar. That tea, by the time you get through with it, you put so much acid from them lemons in it. The man loves acid.
His insides are very well preserved.
You seen that brand new truck he's got?
Uh-huh.
It's a fine rig.
That, what's it look like on the inside?
That console is just slam full of them
lemon packets.
Them lemon packets. It's about 500.
The whole time I was driving up Arkansas, boy, it would break out 3 packets right quick, fill it up, put some tea in it, shake it a little bit, and drink it.
How many times did y'all pee on the way up there?
I never just stopped.
We didn't stop up there.
We didn't stop.
I stopped once on the way back.
Oh, my word.
Interesting.
It was a nice little trip.
Hey, we did hit up at Bucky's at the beach, though.
The one at the beach?
Boy. Mm-hmm.
Were
you okay?
We came through at like 5:30 in the morning.
Okay,
that's all.
Hey, shout out to them. They got like a keto bowl for breakfast. A guy went and got some little keto bowls. For his breakfast, it was like eggs and brisket and cheese in a bowl, and that's it.
And ain't nothing ever been wrong with that.
Not nothing. But he did say we got to get out of here. There's too much candy. He's looking at all them candy nuts over there.
Look at all this.
I was like, hey, just get you a couple of them keto bowls, and we'll roll on down the road, son.
Is he going keto?
He's got to do something to keep that blood sugar in check. So, yeah, I didn't see him eat anything sweet. I gave him a protein bar, had like 5 grams of sugar on the ride down, and brought them for him. And then that's it, though. He's at least in front of me. I don't know what he's doing behind closed doors.
Yeah, he's at least trying.
But in front of me, he's making a commitment. So, we go to Minnesota this Thursday again, so I'm going to make sure.
Minnesota.
He's going to have a full weekend of accountability again. So,
there you go.
You know, but, hey, I'll keep it with you. I didn't mind it. I was like, I don't have to have bread, guy. It ain't no big deal to me. So, whatever.
I'm sure Miss Paula's on him, too.
Oh,
I'm scared of Paula, so.
Like a hawk.
Oh. You should be.
Yeah. Like a hawk. Out of the two Godwins, she's the one to be feared. Yeah. I can assure you that.
That's right.
So whether you're a deer or a human, fear her.
Yeah.
Godwin, you ain't got to be too scared of him. So.
I've only made Godwin mad once, and I felt so bad because he had that knee surgery, and I bumped into him while he was sitting down. I bumped straight into his knee, and he gave me a look. You dummy. And I was like, all right, I've done it. I've made Godwin mad. I'm the worst human on earth.
Yeah.
That's how I felt. You don't want to make Godwin mad.
People driving on the road make him mad. I can tell you that.
Riding
with him, yeah. Mm-hmm. If they refuse to use a cruise control, he is no fan of them. So.
What is it about road rage?
It's
the people that you would never think had road rage. They got it.
Well. It's just people being idiots, too.
Yeah.
They go 85, and then they're down to 60.
Well,
and when you look over, they're going 60 because they're texting.
Hey.
And then they're back up to 85 once they hit sand.
That one over there is
somebody's point.
No, hey, it's roadway. I understand it because, hey, look, you know, I'm with Ron White, okay? You know, there's some things you can fix, but sheer stupidity, you can't fix it.
Can't fix it.
And there's a lot of it out there on the highways.
Oh, yeah, Lord.
Okay? I mean, it says, it's posted everywhere and just common knowledge, the left lane is for the people that want to drive fast. Look, if they can pay the ticket, get out of their way and let them go by.
You're not supposed to break the law.
I'm just saying, hey, if they can afford to pay the ticket, and usually if somebody's driving fast, he can afford to pay the ticket.
Get out of the way.
Get out of his darn way and let him drive 80. And then just, hey, wish him well and tell him, hey, if you get pulled over, you got the money, so hey, go ahead and pay the ticket.
Break the law as long as you're willing to, you know, pay the
fine. As long as you can pay the fine.
But the person that likes to drive 35, Toby Keith wrote a song about it. Town of 35 miles an hour. Love to get in the fast lane, and they ain't getting over no matter what you do.
Well, let's get over and take our first break. We'll be back right after.
They're going to stay in and drive at 35 miles an hour.
Si is passionate about
idiot drivers. Drive.
Toby Keith.
It's got a, hey, the thing has got tires, wheels on it. It's got a steering wheel, and it's got an accelerator. And if you got one that's got the stick, it's got five gears. Go through them all five fast and get out of the way.
Oh, speaking of that, we had a good time this weekend. I went down to my buddy's place, and we were just riding around in his Jeep, and it's a five-speed.
Yeah.
Well, his 10-year-old son wanted to learn how to drive a standard, so we were like,
oh, yeah, this is fun.
Okay.
Ten?
Get in here, Bill.
10.
That's impressive.
Get in here.
Yeah, we got that seat up there. He can't even see over the front of the Jeep, like, with it all the way up and where he can reach a clutch and everything. He cannot see over the front of the Jeep. Nor can he figure out how to let off that clutch and go with that gas at the same time. It's all or nothing.
Coordination.
And it was just
coordination.
I mean, it felt like I was back riding some kind of bucking Bronco. But it was fun watching. I told him, I said, you keep this up, you'll be the only person at your school that can drive a standard.
That's right.
I said, I'll guarantee it right now.
Yep.
But it was hilarious. I remember it took me back to learn how to drive one of them rascals. How many times you'd stall out. His worst was thinking he was in reverse, but he was actually in like third.
That's dangerous.
Damn.
That's when they get the gears real close.
Yeah, well, and he didn't realize, you know, he don't know. Yeah. His little short arms, he thinks all the way over third. I'm like, no, you got to keep going, son. Reverse on over.
Because when I got to drive the race car, I done the same thing. I figured they had them souped up a little bit where it wouldn't be no problem getting the clutch out and it dying. Oh, no. Wrong answer. I stalled that sucker 7 times in a row. Then I said, hey, I may burn the tire to blow it up, but I ain't fixed the stall it this time.
Burn the
tire? So I gave it some gas.
Oh.
Did you burn the tires or blow it up?
Oh, yeah. I made the best run, just let's put it that way. All the rest of them, they had timed it. I made the fastest run.
He starts fast.
I started scalding it.
I can't drive a standard.
Really?
The one time I did, I ended up at like the busiest intersection.
They're
of
too
West
darn
Monroe,
close together.
Which isn't that busy.
They're too close together because, like Martin said, you think you're in first, you know. Because what you do is just you push to the left, and then it's supposed to be when you hit that gear, it's supposed to be first. Nah, it's third gear.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh,
when
man.
You get it in first, you know it, though, and you've got some gas on it. You know, here we go, baby. And then, hey, you know. Tack it out, and, hey, just get after it.
You want to hear something scary?
go ahead.
I was car shopping for Bullfrog last week.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that's scary.
It is scary.
Isn't that scary? She'll be driving next year.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the price of vehicles.
No.
I
was on the black box, as Phil calls it, looking at cars on the...
Oh, the phone.
On the internet.
And I scrolled down and I saw one.
Well, hey, if you ain't got a fox in the screen, you ain't getting a good deal.
A fox? Okay.
Yeah, you got to have a fox in the screen.
So I scrolled down and I saw one that it looked too good to be true. Why is this thing this price? Uh-huh. And then I looked. standard transmission.
That's right. There you go. That's why.
They can't get rid of them.
Uh-uh.
Oh, that's what Bullfrog needs then. She need to learn how to drive a stick.
Of all the kids I know, she'd probably be the one to do it.
Yeah, she could do
She's about to be 16?
15.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Oh, no.
Unreal.
Yep. Time flies, buddy.
Oh, boy's getting old.
What are you talking about?
Long in the tooth.
Getting old.
Buying cars for kids.
Oh, I'm
buying
it.
Diapers.
You got one.
Well, my wife is driving it. See, it's her. She gets, if I think she planned it, where if she had enough kids, she'd have a new vehicle every year for about 3 years.
Oh, man.
So she gets it. Then
she comes from right. good blood, son. Yeah. And, yeah. Yeah. Her dad. Well,
she got her little hot rod over there.
Oh, yeah.
Who, Nanda?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's fine. Look at Rig.
My first truck was my dad's old truck. That thing was sweet.
My dad wouldn't give me his old truck. He said, you tear that thing up. He went and bought me one that was in worse shape than his.
Yeah.
Right, right.
But that worked. Right. It's fine.
That worked.
Didn't bother me none.
Close to being in the junkyard.
What was your first car? Model T?
Shoot, I can't even remember.
Paint horse.
Hey, I was, 40 years old before I got a first car.
Was you really?
No, I don't remember how old I was before I got. Oh, yeah, I do.
Well, you I had do. To be about 18
just,
or 20.
No, I just remembered the first car I bought. It was a Plymouth. It was a 383, five-speed Hurst transmission.
What color was it?
Yellow. Yellow. Canary yellow.
Was it really? Canary yellow. I was trying to make a joke.
What year model was it?
I want to say 68. It was a fine thing.
See if you can find it.
Oh,
it was a fine thing.
Oh, no.
Yeah, man, then a woman, when I met her, she worked in a factory where she made cushions. So I told her, I said, hey, since you're going to be riding with me, you got to make a cushion to sit on this console right here where you're sitting right next to me.
Is that it, Zy?
It's like that. Mine was better looking.
That thing's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, no. Mine was better looking because it's totally yellow.
Look how long that thing is.
Oh, yeah. No. It had the
fins coming off the back.
Yeah.
That's actually cool. How much did you pay for it?
About $2,000, I think.
Let's take a break. We'll be back.
We're going to take a break with these fast cars, boys.
That is a fine rig.
Oh, it was.
$2,000.
That's a lot of money, though.
Oh, back in them days, yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that hamburger was like a nickel.
And look, he's giving them away.
Hey, and look, and I didn't put oil in it.
What?
I didn't put the regular oil in it.
What'd you put?
The bowels were leaking, y'all. It was oil leaking.
The bowels? Oh. The bowels.
Your bowels were leaking?
Well, everything leaked in that sucker. Okay.
You Robertson. Now, look, I'm just glad to know. You didn't have...
No, I bought it that way.
Well,
hey.
But here's what I'm glad to know, is even before y'all had anything, you still didn't give a rip about maintenance.
Well, no.
Because ever since I've rolled up on this bunch...
Well, no, it was good maintenance. Look, because I just pulled up and... When I got married, okay, from Fort Devens, okay, we threw everything we owned in
the yellow
Plymouth.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Big Bird.
Hey, look, I pulled in the gas station and the guy said, fill up with gas. I said, no. I said, hey, what have you got that's thick? You know, I need some oil.
Oh.
You put oil in the gas tank?
What is that stuff that it comes out of a tube? And I mean,
grease.
That's grease.
Well, it ain't grease. I can't even think of the name of it, but it was in a tube. You know, and it took me forever just to get it to go in the oil.
Grease.
You know, it was real, real thick oil.
So like Phil's coffee.
Well, no, worse than that. Okay. But I put four of them in there with one quart of oil. That's what I do every time I pull it in.
It made a sludge.
Just sludge.
Every time you got gas, you had to do that?
Yeah. Oh, I got, you know, I didn't, half the time I didn't put gas in. It was good on gas mileage.
I'm no handyman, but I don't know.
Oh, no, that baby run fine.
Now, look, I will say, I had a truck, my first truck. I didn't ever really get the oil changed. It burned enough that I had to put about 3 quarts in it between every oil change. So I never really.
I didn't really
have to take anything out. I mean, I kept adding to it.
Yeah, I just added to it. Yeah. But I just got tired of getting 30 weight. It wasn't thick enough. So I said, well, I was looking around there, and it's some kind of real thick oil that you put in. It's supposed to make them run better. Well, hey, I just did it. It makes it.
And it just held yours together.
Yeah. I said, hey, if it runs better, hey, I, instead of putting one, I'm going to put 4 of them in 1 quart of oil.
Well, it did make it run good. Makes it run better. Throw 4 of them in there.
I'm glad I know you now, but I'd love to have known you then. Golly.
Oh, hey.
It'd have been magical.
I'm here to tell you.
You sound like having fun. Yeah. I had some fun.
You know, with my new job, I'm having to deal with a lot of nonsense like that.
What's that? No maintenance?
No maintenance and overfilling of the oil reservoirs and every piece of equipment on Phil's property.
You'd have been proud of me the other day, Stone. So.
Yeah. Because, hey, look.
What happened?
You know, Philip McMillan drove my truck when we went to Houston. And I don't know, he can't see or something, but he was always washing my windshield.
Yeah.
Well, he made the reservoir empty.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, I need to put water in the reservoir before we go to Searcy, Arkansas. So I went in and got the book, looked, okay, talking about where's the stupid water reservoir at, you know. They finally showed me, okay, yeah. Look for the windshield wiper emblem mm-hmm. on a plastic cap. You know. Mm-hmm. So I popped it, went out and looked, and there was 2 or 3 of them that looked suspect. You know, and I said, hold it, I ain't right. I said, and I sure don't want to pour the water and
into the antifreeze.
Yeah, I don't know, or brake fluid or whatever. You know, so I finally found it, you know, filled it up, and then I put water in it. And I said, well, I sprayed it the first time, it wasn't, you know, soap coming out. So when we stopped at your house, you know, I said, hey, get the liquid down. I need you to come out there and put a few drops in my water reservoir for the windshield, you know. And now it's working good because I tried it when I went home.
So you got Dawn dish soap coming on your windshield?
Yeah, it helped clean the bugs off of them. Bugs are hard to get off.
They make this stuff if you stop right down there where you drive past about 7 times a week.
Where's that?
It's called windshield washer fluid. It'll just pour right in there. Got
soap. Yeah, but they ain't got nobody to do it anymore. You have a man come out there and talk about it. You know, he'll check the oil, do that, and check your windshield wipers and all that. Clean the windshield.
Now that you know where it is, you could pour it in yourself.
That's right. Hey, there you go.
I'll make you a deal. You stop and buy a bottle, I'll put it in there for you.
It ain't about getting the stuff. That ain't what it's about. So Phil's got a bush hog down there. Heavy-duty bush hog. We need it. We got a lot of button willets. So there's some alamites on the gearbox.
Uh-oh. When's the last time they saw grease?
So.
No, he's really good about putting grease on things, Phil is.
So, instead of.
That's one thing he does do.
Well, we about to find out.
It takes too long to put the.
Get a grease gun.
Get a grease gun, put it on the alamite, squirt it. You know, that takes too long. So, what you ought to do is just pop open that gearbox
and fill the thing, about
5 tubes and just fill the whole gearbox up and pack it tight full of grease, put it back together and screw it down, and you're good for 5 years.
And then put caulk on the outside of it. That way,
that way you can't get back in it. That's right.
Hey, that's what you do for wheel burns.
That's
what you do for wheel burns. Pack it full of grease, put it on there, slap it on there, close it up. Right, be going.
Yeah, but there's still another alamite on the outside to add grease. You don't cap it in there.
Yeah, but.
Water get in there, it's going to ruin everything.
That's right. But that thing is still running.
Here's the deal, though. When it goes that far, don't change nothing. Because as soon as you change something, whatever was holding everything together in there is gone.
He gone.
And it'll never work again.
That's right.
Like that Carfield on Ford. He never changed oil. And I don't think he ever added oil.
There you go. Oh.
How long did that last?
He told me to do it. I borrowed it. I took it in. It was leaking. So I told the guy, I said, hey, put me some new valve covers on there. Yeah. He took them off and he said, this car has never had the oil changed or none of that, right? And I said, nah. He said, I could tell. He said, you're talking about junk.
Oh, it's junk.
But it still ran.
But it ran.
But Phil's motto is run it till it tears up. And then get another one.
Buy a new
one. Then drop it off at Jimmy Red's and get another one. Red's got a project and you got a new piece of equipment.
It's a fair trade.
But he was doing that before he had money.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I was glad to hear that about Si. At least he's consistent.
Yeah.
This isn't a new problem.
Oh, no.
They just hate maintenance.
It's not a problem, according to Si.
Yeah.
It's just the way things are.
Hey, that's just the way you run.
Piece of junk.
That's your mode, operation there, boys.
Oh,
and he's called more equipment stupid pieces of crap than any human being on
earth. Oh, no. Well, here's the whole thing. Nothing built, okay, is meant to be used like a Robertson uses it.
So is that a problem with the equipment or you?
Yeah. No, it's the way things are.
It's not a problem. Okay? It's just the way it is.
That's like, you know, a four-wheel drive truck.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't meant to be used 12 months out of the year. In four-wheel drive.
Well, yeah.
You know,
why you can put it in and take it out.
Hey, that's why they call it off-road. You're supposed to just get off the road every now and then when you want to do it for fun. But when you got a man that lives in the woods and, hey, he's in the woods 12 months out of the year in mud.
Yeah.
Okay, nothing was built to take that.
And don't take care of nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you're there for, Stone.
That old black Toyota.
T1000
or whatever.
That's why you have a man like Jimmy Red on standby call at all times.
Yeah. Now, you got to find somebody more dependable than that.
Yeah, he don't take care of nothing either.
Yeah. Well, no, but he can fix anything.
I wouldn't call that a strong word.
He's a Band-Aid man.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I'm just saying he can keep it running.
There you go.
Out loud.
He can get you to somewhere where he can
keep it running.
Yeah, he's a parts changer at best. I mean, that's
he ain't a fixer.
No. No, but you get him the right part, he can get it back in there.
Yeah, he can do that.
So.
Oh, man.
Unbelievable. Well, let's take another break. We'll be back right after this. We need to bring Red in. Problem is,
you say he can't fix things. Why would we bring him in?
Ladies
and gentlemen, we just had a break.
We're going to need Red to phone in.
We had a big argument during the break about whether Red can fix things or not. And Si says they're in error.
Si uses the term fix rather loosely.
Here's where Si...
Wait a minute. Define fix.
Here's what it is.
Something that will not run.
Nope.
Okay, it's just for example, air conditioner will not run.
Call Mountain Man.
Hey, nope. Hey, set it on the side road near somewhere down there where Red lives.
And next thing you know,
10 minutes later, drive by his house. I'm gonna tell you what's gonna happen. That air conditioner be in his window running.
And it'll never be the same.
It'll be running and cooling there, I'm telling you.
He's a Band-Aid man. Yeah. His fixes aren't long term.
Well, all I'm saying is because I had a truck. Okay.
Which one?
Oh, that brown.
The Ford?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I done took it and spent like $800. It had a short in it.
Mm-hmm.
I done spent $800. I'd get it back. Nope. It ain't fixed. So I took it down to Red one day when I got sick of it. I done spent another $200. I spent $1,000 total to get fixed. I said, Red, I got a crisp $100 bill right here.
Crisp.
I said, hey, find the short and fix it. And somebody come by and took me down to Phil's house, okay? It was 5 minutes. He come down there driving my truck. He said, I fixed it. Yeah, it was under the floor mat. Bad wiring, okay?
And he fixed it.
Yeah, you know, and when I said, well, here's your $100. He said, no, I ain't gonna take my.
Give me a Coke.
Yeah, he said, hey, you know, give me a, you know, whatever.
Give me a Coke Cola.
And I said, hey, what did I tell you? And he said, you said $100 if I fixed it. He said, yeah, but it wasn't 5 minutes. I said, Red, I don't care if it was 5 hours. I said, I told you I'd give you $100 if you fixed it. You fixed it, so hey, here's the $100. Get out of here.
Now, did it ever break again?
No.
All right.
That, no.
Not that.
That's repaired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if it won't run, Red can get it running within 5 minutes. Okay, I knew another guy like that. Look, he lived next door to me when I was stationed at Fort Bragg. Or not Fort Bragg, Fort Polk, Louisiana.
Polk.
Yeah, Polk. You know, I needed a tool. I needed a grinder for something.
Or Polk.
You know, so I go to my next door neighbor, knock on the door, and I said, hey, you don't have one of them big grinders, do you? He said, yeah, come on, come with me. So we went out to a shed, and it's a room about twice as big as this room right here, square. Yeah, you know, pretty good size thing. And I mean, it's everything's on the wall in neat places every time.
And this person's like, Red?
No. And I'm looking, and there's about 10 grinders on the wall. He said, choose the one you want. Well, I got talking to him later after I got to know him real good. His job was he used to push garbage around at the dump.
Oh, at the landfill?
Yeah, at the landfill.
Oh, he was
everything.
He was a pack rat.
No. Everything in that building. Okay. I mean, he had grinders. He had all kinds of electric tools, okay, that he had found at the dump.
Mm-hmm.
And it would need a switch. It would need a cord. You know, the plug's bad. And I guarantee you, he had like $30,000 worth of equipment in there.
Oh, yeah. My dad's same way out there at the mill. Somebody say something broke, throw it away. He'd go out there and grab it, and it's still hanging in his shop.
No.
Running.
Yeah.
You still go grab it.
And look, the guy would say, I said, what did all, you know, I said, you had to repair all this stuff. What? He said, $10, $12 on that, $13 on that. One of them giant grinders?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a big one that automakers use. You know, them things are expensive. He had 15 up there. And, hey, all was wrong with switch.
He keeps getting
bad wiring. You know.
So he could fix anything.
Oh, no. He had $30,000 worth of equipment in there that he found at the dump. He said the best one was, he was pushing his dozer, you know, pushing dirt around and getting it covered and all up. And look, it's some shiny leather, you know, good-looking purse. So he's... Put some dozer in neutral, goes down, got to go through it. You know, the little compartment in there just, you know, unzipped it.
I've heard this one.
$5,000 in $100 bills, brand new.
Mm. In the dump?
Dang.
In the purse.
That was in the dump?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. $5,000.
You know how many of them grinders he bought for that?
None of them.
He fixed all of them, son.
Sold them.
I said, well, you're $5,000 to the good, and it didn't cost you nothing. I said, what'd you do with the purse? You threw it away.
He got what he needed out of
it. I don't need a purse.
But, hey.
I bet that's an interesting job, of pushing stuff around a landfill, seeing what people throw away.
I bet someone right now is doing that while listening to this.
Oh, no.
Probably.
And if you are... Please tell us what you found.
And I'm going to tell you what he's got.
What's the most interesting thing you found?
Hey.
Si's got a treasure show. He may come hunt it with you.
Oh, I'm telling you now.
What's the most interesting thing you've ever just found?
No, the best thing I've ever, I didn't find it. I actually won it. And the only reason I won it, it was a good-looking young lady that was selling the lottery tickets. And the only reason I bought it is I wanted to talk to her for a while.
Yeah. What did you win?
I won a Browning shotgun, brand spanking new.
He's the
12 gauge.
I've never won anything.
How many times did you clean it?
Huh? Oh, probably not much.
Never. I can answer that.
Never.
Nope.
Not once.
And hey, it was one of the fine ones. 30-inch full choke barrel.
Where is it?
That was at the house.
Can I have it?
In a safe? No.
Oh.
Nope.
I just figured I'd ask.
Amazing. Have you ever found anything?
I'm sure it's covered in
red. Found anything cool?
Yeah.
I caught my fishing rod one time.
But you were fishing for it.
No, it was about 3 days later. I done rode it off.
Oh.
And I caught it. Yeah, I caught it about 3 days later. I was like, man, what is this? And I looked and I was like, that's my fishing rod. Yeah. I picked it up, put it back in the boat.
Best one on that. We were duck hunting down there. and we're in the cutoff and during high water. And a guy, Phil, hit a bush. Guy had his gun laying wrong. It hit the bush too, and out it goes.
Oh yeah, I know this one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes, yo. And Phil said, "Hey, don't worry about that gun." He said, "When the water goes down, I'll come out here and find it for you." Because we tried it, you know, never could find it in high water. You know, so the water drops out, you know, Phil fooling with the magnet. And, you know, you got to think about this. It hit, goes down in between some limbs and in between the forks. And, I mean, if you don't just put it exactly right, you're never going to get this gun.
Mm-hmm.
But Phil's, he's done that with his nets too much. So he's got where he's pretty good at. He kept fooling around that bush where that thing was at and finally heard that click, you know. It was rusty now. It took him forever to finally get it oiled up and, you know, cleaned up. Probably had to send it to a gun maker to have him actually get it clean and re-blued. But at least, you know, it was his daddy's gun, so he didn't want to lose it.
Was it a bush or the boat wreck?
Yeah. Huh?
No, that was a different one where he knocked everything.
Oh, yeah.
No, this was just he hit a wasn't watching and hit a tree and
he didn't have didn't have his gun laying flat either.
Yeah, a few things fell out. You know, one of them was a shotgun.
Yeah.
But he actually found it.
You know, Jace made the statement one day we were riding to the blind before daylight. We hit about five bushes on the way in, and Jay said, "Well, you know, I think it's time that Phil let somebody else drive the boat." And I said, "I'm going to let you be the one to tell
that's
him
right.
that."
Yeah. Yeah. You worked that out, Jason.
Yeah. Somebody grab Phil and say, "Yeah, ride here."
Yeah. You worked that out, Jason.
Yeah. No thanks.
I ain't doing it.
Mm-mm. Me neither. Mm-mm. No. I'll run through them button willows all morning. Yeah. Let's go.
Well, I just got to where I just lay down on the bottom of the boat.
That's what I always do.
That's it. Yeah.
I just laid on the front.
You're right in the middle, and hey, when you start, okay, yep, right.
And if you start feeling water.
When you get on the bottom of the boat, boys.
Stand up.
That's right. And if it sinks, hey, stand up.
Stand up, boys. Too many honey buns.
He always blames it on the fat boys.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He said, "That's what happens when you boys can't lay off them honey buns.
If you can't lay off the honey buns, boys, you sink boats."
I'm the only man I know that got blamed for sinking his boat, and I wasn't even there.
That's right. You wasn't even there.
Yeah. I tied it up at the boathouse. Next thing I knew, I done sunk his boat. So, well, okay then. It is what it is. But let's take our last break. We'll be back right after this. There's a reason you wear kill switches, too.
Yeah, and a weight limit.
Because if you end up out of the boat, that boat's going to go in circles. You know what's going to happen then? Somebody's going to die.
Yeah.
So why do you think it's a good idea if you're controlling it going in a circle? That's a terrible idea.
With seven men in it.
And full of equipment.
Full of decoys.
1,000 pounds of decoys. Shotguns. 2,000 pounds of men. And let's just, I mean, if you were just one man in there, you could have done it. Should have dropped everything off and then come back and get that.
That would have been the smart way to go.
But
there you go.
Typical Phil Robertson.
Yeah.
He in a hurry. That everything's done in a hurry.
We're in a rush. And then we're going to be there.
We only have an hour and a half till daylight.
Yeah. And then we're only going to sit there for 45 minutes at least in the dark.
We only have an hour and a half till daylight on private land. Let's hurry up and get there.
That story will go down.
He gets a little frustrated with me because I'm the opposite of getting in a hurry. My thing is I don't get in a hurry for nothing.
I like exactly 5 minutes before legal to be set up and ready. Get that little 5 minute of calm, do whatever, and then let's hunt.
I do enjoy my coffee.
Yeah. Well, I say I can drink my Mountain Ops and that.
I don't drink no coffee.
What's in our mailbag? We done got to wrap.
All right, Johnny mailbag. D. All right, hey, Jeremiah emailed in like back in April.
Was he a bullfrog?
Jeremiah.
No, but he was worried about talking to
his
girlfriend's dad about getting engaged.
Mm-hmm. Well,
boom, he took our advice, and now he's engaged, and there's a photo.
Is that your dad?
There you go.
No, that's his dad.
Oh, okay.
I don't know
he's engaged.
Dad. Yeah, we got another one.
Jeremiah.
We're two for two.
Congrats, my man.
Good work.
There you go, son.
So he had a bunch of questions about school. I guess we answered it. I don't really remember it. Do you remember it?
If I think that that's the one he was nervous to talk to today because they never had any alone time or she was always there or something.
No, no, no.
Oh, not that? Oh.
Anyway, there's been a few. So that's cool. And then what's so weird is this person emailed in like right before we started. And then Stone sang a country song, and it's Natalie. And she said, has anyone ever noticed Jay Stone's voice sounds like he would make a great country singer?
Country, Western.
Country and Western, he says.
Country and Western. But she also emails in, and it's kind of on the theme of today. My husband wants to keep fixing appliances rather than buying new.
Call Jimmy Redd.
Yeah. All right, so she says she loves podcasts.
Just drop it off.
Drop it off on the side of the road.
But
red cut loop.
50-50 chance.
Red cut loop, throw it out on the side of the road. Jimmy ready to pick it up.
All right, well, she says her husband and I have been married for 18 years, and she truly admires the fact he is a true handyman. They've had their washer and dryer since they got married.
That's what's up.
Right. And the washer spin cycle is not completely wringing out the clothes out. He'll do something to fix it, and a month later, it will do the same thing again. Mm. This is a cycle. Get it?
Yeah.
In addition, our refrigerator has stopped working 3 times in the past year and a half. Each time it stops working, we have to deal with all the work that goes into saving our food until my husband can fix it yet again. I get that my husband would rather fix things than have to buy new, but enough is enough. Last night, it happened again to the refrigerator, and it's getting ridiculous. How can I gently talk my husband into buying new appliances without hurting his feelings or making him mad?
Oh, this one's easy.
Ugh. Just do it.
Just buy you a new one. Darling. Put it in.
Yeah.
And then put that one out there in the garage and say, we needed one for drinks.
Yeah.
We needed one for bottled water. I was tired of all the bottled water taking up the room in here. So, look, you got your own bottled water fridge out there. Get after it, son. But just do it while he's at work.
There you go.
Sometimes you got to. Like on this case, I like fixing stuff, too. And I hate spending money. Everybody know I'm tight. But in this case, like, three strikes and you're out.
Enough is enough.
You know.
I've tried to fix things and just can't. So.
Yeah.
But you know.
I don't have this problem.
Those old school washers and dryers.
Best ones made.
You can't tear them up.
No. That's why there's that big rush on that one. It's called like a Speed Queen now or something. That's just like the old school. That nothing. Everything's analog on it. Nothing digital. You push buttons and set things and all that.
It's got an on and off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Simplicity.
Yeah. But I enjoy repairing too, but we're to a point, especially the refrigerator. Like, that's a bad deal there.
You need a fridge.
You got to have, this day and age, you got to have a fridge.
Because if your fridge goes out, I mean, there's a chance you're losing more money than the fridge costs.
If your laundry backs up a week, that ain't a big deal unless there's like 80 of y'all, unless you got a house full of kids or something. But. But you can go a week without that. But a couple of days without a fridge, you in a bind. So
you just don't want to lose everything.
Buy it for him for a gift. Don't even tell him. Happy birthday. Happy anniversary.
Yeah. That's what you do.
Make it his idea.
That's right. You just say, hey, here's a gift for you.
What if we move the one fridge?
I got tired of watching you work too hard.
Wherever he works on his stuff, put the broken refrigerator there and get you a new one for inside. And then that way he's got one out there where he in his workshop.
Yep.
Martin, you're a genius.
Problem solved.
That's right. We're just solving problems here today. All right, well, we got another one. This one's a little younger. Allie, 12 years old, just moved to Corpus Christi, Texas because of her dad's Navy orders. And she's pretty sure she's the only shy homeschooler on earth. Do you have any ideas to help me make more friends, especially hunting friends? Plus, do you have any tips for dove season? Apparently, there's a lot of doves in Corpus Christi.
Oh, yeah.
There is. There's a bunch of them. I've been there.
So that's her request.
Watch out for the hurricane.
Basically, she's moved. It sounded like she's moved a lot.
Yeah, she's trying to find a new set of hunting buddies.
Yeah.
Which Corpus has got some big hunting stores, hunting and fishing stores. It's a lot more of a fishing community than it is a hunting community. But Corpus is cool. You can kill you a lot of redheads. There's a bunch of them that end up down there in the Laguna Madre. All that kind of stuff.
Martin knows so much.
I was there last year. I was just south of Corpus last year, but you could, like, see Corpus where we were hunting from. And King Ranch is there, so, like, you can go ride around the bay and see a bunch of Neil Guy and all kinds of cool things. There's a lot to do down there for an outdoors person.
But how does she...
It's just got a weird smell. That old seagrass, when it rots, it's just got a weird smell
to it. How does she meet people?
You just going to have to get out there, go to the stores, and go to the... go to the things, get out there and do it, you know? I mean, there's people
everywhere.
Well,
that's tough. She's probably, like, because my dad talks about, I mean, he moved. He was California, he was born in Germany, and his dad was in the Army, so he moved a ton and was shy.
Yeah.
So he talks about that a lot. And
boy, he is making up for lost time now. He is not shy.
Huh?
Your dad.
Well, he did, but that he just still don't like people.
Oh yeah, I know he don't like them.
He got
but
a lot of stone.
But he still talked to everybody.
He does talk to people.
Yeah, he'll talk to anybody.
But yeah, that's. I mean, I appreciate your dad serving in the Navy.
Yeah, and you too.
And yeah, that's tough on you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Martin's right. You go to them stores.
Just get out there. There'll be stuff. There's events like those places. They celebrate hunting and fishing down there. So just get involved with those events. Do. They'll have kids fishing rodeos. They'll have all kinds of stuff. You'll meet you some good folks to tie into down there, 100%.
Si, any advice on dove hunting?
Kill them all.
Lots of shells.
That's right. Kill them all.
Lots of shells.
Lots of shotgun shells. And, hey, about a month before it starts, skeet shoot to get it going where you'll be on.
Get your lead right.
That's right.
If you just had your lead right, you can kill them out to 250.
That's right, but 250 is about as far as you kill one for. If you got the lead right.
250?
Yeah.
Yards?
Yeah.
Yeah. No problem.
No
problem. As long as your lead's right.
Right. As long as your lead's right.
That's not true.
Yeah, it is.
Just ask Si.
Hey, just ask me.
I will stand 250 yards away from you and let you shoot at me.
Really?
With dove shot.
I'm gonna make you turn around because I don't want to put your eye out, but I will pepper your back behind you.
Once he gets his lead right, you're in trouble.
That's right. I will pepper
your
behind.
So do I have to run?
No, you can just stand there.
Oh, yeah, you just stand there and take it.
Martin, would you be nervous?
At Si? Oh, yeah, he'd figure you out. He'd lob it in there.
Oh, no, hey. Windage. Kentucky windage, son.
He'd lob it in there.
Kentucky I have windage. Seen him when he gets on a roll. It's
oh, no.
250 yards.
Hey.
He'd lob it.
No, I had
it
to
ain't going to hurt real bad.
When I went
it gets
to Venice for blue winged teal hunting. There was a slight wind blowing that morning, and I wasn't used to wind. It's pretty windy. I missed the first couple.
But 10.
But then I got on a roll.
And killed you six and quit.
Killed me six in a row.
He sure did. I saw it with my own two eyes.
How many yards was it?
It was about 20.
Oh, these were in your face.
They were moving.
It's a hot hole. Yeah. And they were coming in hot.
Doves are hard to shoot.
Six for six.
No. Oh. Look, the best thing about dove hunting is that, hey, there is more shots, more shells burnt, more powder burnt on doves than there is anything else. I think one year they published it, it was like 5 million shotgun shells, and it was less than like 70 doves killed.
What? That's not.
No.
That's not it.
I'm serious.
5 million to 70?
5 million. I'm serious. There was 5 million shells fired, and there was like only a total of 70 doves killed.
So, Allie, for our advice from duck hunting, for every dove you want to kill, you're going to need to buy 71,428 shells. That's our advice.
No, that's why I told her. Practice shooting skeet for the month before.
What are they watching?
I just sent it to you. I filmed that this morning.
Oh, boy.
He filmed what?
Hold on. We got something else here.
Oh, okay.
A fledgling dove.
Uh-oh. There's – oh, where is that, sir?
That's
He's
at,
not going
to That's tell. At Willie's house.
Uh-oh.
22.
Are we – no.
Headshot.
Are we gonna have a neighborhood dove SWAT? All right,
headshot.
Get us out of here.
All right, got us. All right,
either air rifle, pellet gun, or 22.
I don't think any of that's legal, sir.
I don't either.
Hey, nobody knows about it.
You just told the whole world. All right, gang. Here's the Bible verse for the day: Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared us in advance for us to do.
There you go.
There it is.
You didn't know that.
That
you was prepared in advance to do good.
There it is.
Right, there you go. That's pretty cool.
That'll
we'll see y'all next time. Hey, right
here you go, boys.
We're out.